This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 23rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Illinois Public Radio's Carl Scrongen visited a farmer recently. This artist's work was recently on display at the Illinois State Fair. We'll hear about celebrating agriculture and the rural way of life. We'll also have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Pay raises are a highlight of a tentative contract agreement for teachers and support staff in the Mahomet Seymour Schools. Union members approved the agreement Wednesday afternoon with only two no votes. Union President Eric Potter says the contract has yet to be ratified by the school board, but it provides for 5% yearly raises for teachers and 6% for support staff over 3 years. He says the raises fit in with the district's budget concerns.
You know, certainly reward the teachers, one of the best staffs in the area, one of the best districts in the area. It's a budget that's going to be workable by the district, a budget that's going to let us do some new things.
Potter says those new things include extra course offerings and improved technology in the rapidly growing district. The contract agreement follows more than 12 hours of bargaining sessions between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. The University of Illinois has cut ties with military contractor Blackwater USA amid questions over a possible conflict of interest. U of I Police Training Institute Director Tom Dempsey negotiated the five-year agreement in May, but U of I administrators say he never admitted to doing personal contract work while planning the official one with the university. The Blackwater agreement was intended to exchange staff and students and collaborate on training. In a letter to Blackwater dated August 15th, U of I Chancellor Richard Herman said Dempsey entered into the contract in a manner inconsistent with the university policy. Dempsey is on a paid leave while working for Blackwater. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler says the leave was settled with one branch of the university, while the Blackwater contract was conducted through another. She says this has prompted a review of such agreements in the future.
The university certainly is reviewing the process for how we do a memorandum of understanding. We want to make sure that we don't have a situation where someone who's being called upon to make a decision about something involving a leave, for example, doesn't know about the existence of an MOU.
Dempsey contends he did nothing wrong and went through the proper channels in each case. Blackwater is best known for providing security forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. A spokeswoman for the contractor says she hasn't received the U of I's letter. Ann Terrell declined further comment. As former Governor George Ryan remains free on bond months after his racketeering conviction, some observers suggest plain old clout may be at play. Legal experts say serious questions concerning jury deliberations at the close of his six-month trial remain before Ryan is sent to start his six-and-a-half-year sentence. But others say political clout may be at work after an appeals court upheld Ryan's conviction on Tuesday, but then canceled a 72-hour deadline for him to report to prison. Political scientist Paul Green says that if the subject of the case were what he calls a Joe Schmo, he'd be on his way to prison, but Loyola University's David Yellen disagrees. He didn't believe clout was a determining factor in Ryan's case. He says it's not as if the ex-governor were the only criminal defendant who's ever had his bond extended. The threat of anthrax in the mail is always a possibility for Champaign's post office. A full-scale drill with local police, fire department, and health officials yesterday taught about 200 employees at the Champaign Mail Processing and Distribution Center how to react during a biohazard alert. U.S. Postal Service spokeswoman Sue Litterly says emergency procedures begin when a special machine that scans each piece of mail detects a biohazard substance and sets off an alarm.
And when that alarm went off, what happens is that we move people out depending on where they were, and then the public health officials take over. They ask the people questions. They take off their personal jewelry, items like that. They'll go through a wash station while they'll be washed down. And when they come out, they'll be given medication.
Litterly says although more than a half million letters go through Champaign's distribution center each day, there haven't been any alarms since the biohazard scanners were installed 3 years ago. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan says the current budget impasse is having a detrimental effect on groups and people who rely on state funding. The governor has promised to sign an amended version of a budget passed earlier this month by lawmakers, but he hasn't taken action yet. Madigan says schools and social service providers are suffering from delayed state payments.
There's a whole series of individuals, including those of us who are trying to make sure that government still functions, who are very, very badly impacted by a failure of the governor to sign a budget or to at least issue a veto message, allowing hopefully most of the budget to go into place.
Madigan says lawmakers and the governor could then work out their differences on the vetoed sections of the budget. The attorney general says she hasn't directly shared her opinion with the governor. Today marks the state's 23rd day without a budget, delaying state checks to schools, disabled workers, Medicaid providers, and more. House Republican leader Tom Cross claims Governor Blagojevich hasn't taken action because he can't find places to cut without hurting important services. And a spokesman for House Speaker Michael Madigan says the Blagojevich administration lacks the expertise to trim the budget. Blagojevich spokeswoman Abby Ottenhoff denies the administration is having trouble identifying waste. She says the delay is because the cuts need to be reviewed carefully. Some Midwest corn farmers are starting harvest weeks early this year. They're worried that stormy weather now could cause damage to corn plants already suffering from a dry, hot summer. Corn specialist Roger Elmore says corn plants can stop growing because of stress from summer heat. In Indiana, where parts of the state are in moderate or severe drought, the latest U.S. Department of Agriculture crop report shows that only 38% of the state's corn is in good or excellent condition. In Illinois, crops seem to be faring better, with 72% of the corn listed in good or excellent condition. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. The recently concluded Illinois State Fair has always been about celebrating agriculture and the rural way of life. In one exhibit, the paintings of one Gillespie farmer captured on canvas images drawn from life on the farm. Illinois Public Radio's Carl Scroggin talked with the artist and prepared this report.
Roger DeWitt and his wife Vicki live on their farm near Gillespie, Illinois, where they raise nationally acclaimed American paint horses. Roger is also a professional artist. He paints what he describes as the historical Midwest. His work is straight from the heart and depicts his love of the land and rural life.
Well, I always like to draw and paint, and I was raised on a farm. And so as a young kid, I was always drawing pictures of the farm animals and things like that. And then later on, I went to college and studied agronomy, and then became a farmer and a plant breeder. Then the art bug bit me again, and I had some old emotions I wanted to reinvestigate. So I started taking up painting as a hobby, and of course I wanted to express my feelings for agriculture and the past history and the way of life that no longer exists. And I saw all the old barns disappearing, and I wanted to try to recapture some of those along with the way of life that they represent. So that's the theme of most of my paintings.
Now, you did one work here that you said was newly painted, and you called it Repossessed. Share with us how that seen as part of your life.
When I was a young boy, myself and the neighbor farm boy right down the road, he lived about a quarter of a mile down the road, we used to walk back there or ride our horses. We had ponies and ride our horses back in the woods, and there was an old abandoned farm back in the woods, and it was full of wonder, and we used to play in this old abandoned farmstead with the house and an old barn, and we spent a lot of hours as children playing around in this abandoned farmstead, and we heard the stories about the old family that lived there, and of course now that no longer exists. So I had some old photos that we had I've taken of that place, and I just this winter I recreated some of my memories by painting that picture, and it's called Repossessed because in the painting there's some deer that are coming across and reclaiming the original land that once belonged to them because the people have abandoned the place. So
you draw on native Illinois landscapes a lot for inspiration, but you also have a number of paintings that sort of deal with an idealized Old West.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that stems from my background in horses. We've always shown Western horses and raised Western horses. And, of course, I played cowboys and Indians when I was a boy. And so I like to depict some ranch life and things. And my wife has some connections to some famous old cowboys. Charlie Goodnight was her great-great-great uncle. And so I've got a little bit of tendency to do some Western things, too, and I enjoy that as well. So I try to mix that in.
And tell us about your exhibit this year here at the Artisans Building in the State Fair.
Well, this is my second year to be here at the Illinois State Fair in the Artisans Building, and I've got a double booth here and displaying about, oh, I'd say 20 of my pencil drawings and oil paintings, and it's been really a nice experience. Last year, I really enjoyed it because I got to visit with so many people that had so many stories to tell me because they were inspired by looking at the artwork that I've got here on the walls. And so I sold some art, and it was nice that way, but it was the most important thing was the people that appreciated it, and it brought back memories, and they could tell me stories from their experiences that related to agriculture and so forth.
I'm Carl Scroggin.
In the forecast for the region today, mostly sunny, hot and humid, a high of 93, an afternoon heat index around 100 degrees, partly cloudy and muggy tonight, the low 72, hazy sunshine, hot and humid, with a chance of showers arriving tomorrow in the afternoon, the high around 92, mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms possible overnight, the low around 70, mostly cloudy Saturday, occasional showers and thunderstorms, the high around 83. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 23rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.